The nation's largest banks today are bigger than they were before the 2008 financial crisis. So are they too big to fail? Well, a report last month from the Federal Reserve and the FDIC found that five of the nation's eight largest banks, including JPMorgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America, do not have credible plans for how they would wind themselves down in a crisis without sowing another panic. But just a few weeks later, FDIC Chairman Martin Grunberg said that he believes if a big U.S. bank were to, quote, experience severe distress, it would be resolved in an orderly way. So a difference of opinion there, even amongst financial regulators, let alone the debate on too big to fail among presidential candidates and politicians. Now, the very fact that the debate persists bothers Chad Gifford. He is former chairman of Bank of America, which, by the way, currently has more than $2 trillion in assets. Gifford recently retired from the Bank of America board, capping a legendary 50-year career in the financial industry. And I spoke with him recently and asked him to explain a comment he'd made to the Boston Globe. I asked him why he said he doesn't think the banking industry has, quote, done a good job explaining the importance of big banks.
Right now, the global financial system is incredibly complicated. And trillions of transactions, maybe not trillions, but billions of transactions a day. And if anybody, in my opinion, who's rational, can take the big banks out of that with their levels of capital, their expertise, I think they're crazy. We'll have another downturn. And when another downturn happens, who is going to help the government out of the jungle?
People would say it would be the taxpayers.
We'll get to that. What's happened? You know, Bear Stearns got into trouble. J.P. Morgan took them over. Merrill Lynch was tottering. Bank of America took them over. The government needs those kind of allies when we have difficulty.
I'm wondering if we could just take it down to the level of current voters, a worker on the edge of retirement who's seen their earning power progressively drop over the past 30 years and a lot of job uncertainty, a lot of retirement uncertainty, et cetera. How would you tell them that their lives have felt an impact from the big banks?
Well, number one, since 08, the deposits of the big banks, and let's say the big banks being Wells, Citibank, JP Morgan, Bank of America, deposits have grown. People aren't running away from us. But what we've learned, I think, from Trump and from Sanders in particular, is there is tremendous anger out there. The middle class is not growing as it should. So wages have been stagnant. And I think some of the rhetoric of vitriol doesn't help, but rather, what can we do about it?
I mean, as you know, just last month, in April, the Federal Reserve and the FDIC put out a letter, a report, saying that five out of eight of the nation's largest banks don't yet have what they called credible plans for winding down in the event of another crisis. Bank of America was one of those banks. And Thomas Honig, the vice chairman of the FDIC, said in a statement that the goal to end too big to fail and protect the American taxpayer by ending bailouts remains just that, only a goal.
There are a number of regulators that don't think we should have big banks. The Fed also said, and I believe the FDIC as well, that the banks have made remarkable improvement in getting here. So I dispute the issue that we still are vulnerable to failing banks.
So two things there. One is, it seems that the federal government itself disagrees with you because they said that the current arrangements could pose serious and adverse effects to the financial stability of the United States. And you seem to be saying completely the opposite.
I don't agree with that comment. As I tried to say earlier, I believe the big banks are absolutely critical when times get tough because of their strength, because of their management expertise. You say the federal government. The federal government's pretty large.
Well, in this case, it's the Fed and the FDIC.
Yeah, but if you read the entire report, I think you'd see great progress. By the way, one thing, Senator Sanders and again, I think he and Trump has hit upon great unease in our country in terms of income disparity, true job growth, Main Street, Wall Street. And we all have to acknowledge that.
2008 is why there's so much unease.
Absolutely.
even today. I mean, and it was Bank of America itself that made, back in 2014, an almost $17 billion settlement with the government, the largest ever for a single American entity for, you know, the, as the DOJ categorizes it, financial fraud leading up to and during the financial crisis. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people who say, look, I heard you say earlier, Chad Gifford, that there were a lot of players in the run-up to 2008. But many, many people say that it wouldn't have cascaded through the economy the way it did had it not been for the big banks who were then, you know, in part putting money out for these loans and coming back and securitizing them and then selling them off, and that the very thing that you say they're good at, which is handling the complexity, is what allowed the crisis to, you know, threaten the U.S. economy.
You're 100% right. The unease, the litigation settlements, mm-hmm. $17 billion, and there were others as well, has clearly given us a black mark. And if I weren't involved, as I think I am, and have the experience that I think I do, reading about all those settlements, I would be angry as hell. I'd like to think those are done. As it relates to the specific crisis in 08, it was obviously residential real estate, home prices down 35%. The fact is there were some many subprime mortgages made that should have been made. As it relates to Bank of America, most of that was Countrywide, as you probably know, which we bought in 07 or 08, whatever. We didn't make the mortgages. We bought it, so yeah, it's on our candle.
Well, you didn't make them, but then you securitized them and sold the securities.
We did, but remember, it was the AAA one. Remember, until 09, Moody's and Standard Poor's had these things rated AAA one. The thought that the mentality of the companies, the big banks, were knowingly securitizing lousy loans, you know, I think is preposterous.
Well, but Goldman's, I mean, isn't that exactly what happened with Goldman Sachs, though?
Well, I think that what happened to Goldman Sachs is probably the same that's happened to everybody. I don't know if that's unique.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, what was it, in 2010 or so, at a federal hearing, there were some emails that were presented to Lloyd Blankfein when he was testifying that basically said that seemed to show that Goldman was knowingly selling securities, mortgage-backed securities, that they knew they were essentially toxic, and then also shorting those same securities.
I think that's terrible. I don't think that was not widespread when you talk, particularly that latter statement, shorting those same securities. I think as the market heated up, there was what I still consider some bad actors, and I think we could have been more careful on that. But again, I think that's basically indicting a community when you have one or two bad apples.
So I guess maybe I already know your answer to this, but if our economy, both in the United States and globally, is so fundamentally reliant on these enormous institutions to function as they need to in the 21st century. And it's those same institutions that people are worried could bring down the economy. Isn't there a fundamental structural problem with that relationship?
To me, the risk in the next time we have a tough 08 type of thing won't be the big banks. It'll be the people like the hedge funds. It'll be the unregulated, the so-called shadow banks, which have very large positions, which have very large investments, without the capital strength, without the management expertise that I think the big banks have. You know, one of the other things that irritates me is when people say banks don't want regulations. That's crazy. Banks must have regulations. I think, frankly, many of the regulations are one of the reasons we are the strongest in the world.
So from your perspective, post-Dodd-Frank, because I heard you say a little earlier that bankers actually love regulation or need regulation.
We respect regulation.
Okay, you respect regulation. What are there specific things in addition to Dodd-Frank that you think could help further stabilize the system or prevent, you know, future 2008s?
I think we have enough regulation right now. I don't think I'm not proposing more regulation.
Okay. Well, Chad Gifford, thank you so much for your time and for talking with me. I'm really grateful for it.
No, it was fun. Thank you. My pleasure. I'm not sure I convinced you about big banks, but I believe I'm right.
Chad Gifford worked in the banking industry for 50 years. He retired from the Bank of America board just last month. We always welcome your thoughts. Share them at hereandnow.org.